Well, The Biggest Loser, one of the most popular shows on TV, it's now been transformed. Shannon Ponton's on the line. Hello, mate. Haven't spoken to you for a while. How you been?
Yeah, I've been out of work, mate. Thanks very much. Thanks for reminding me, but we're back.
Tell me about The Biggest Loser transformed. It's a whole new show, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, bud. And it's dragged the format right into what's current around health and fitness. I mean, it's sort of funny when you look back. 11 years we've been going black as now.
Yeah.
And if you look back, I think sort of reality TV went for the bigger, better, faster, more, bigger, better, faster, more, and it became somewhat of, you know, sort of a spectacle where our contestants went from 200 to 250 to 280 kilos. As amazing as their transformations were, it was very hard for everyday Australians to relate to that scale of weight, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, but so it was huge.
The first thing people noticed issue is our contestants were so much smaller. We had the smallest contestant ever. A girl started the season at 78 kilos. You know, we're way from what we've ever had before, way away.
Why have you gone in that direction?
Well, I just think it's where fitness and health is at, and it's definitely where my passion is at. I mean, we now know that about 75% of the Australian population are overweight. And, I mean, morbid obesity is only the tip of an otherwise very big iceberg. So hopefully with this new format, we'll be able to target the viewers of middle Australia to jump on board and start their own transformations as well.
Right.
Each week there's going to be a lesson on nutrition and cooking. There's also going to be an episode dedicated to psychology and the equipping the viewers with the tools they need to get their weight and health under control long term. And I think the next biggest difference is the scales are only in play for the first 8 weeks of the competition. So it's Biggest Loser as you've known it for the first 8 weeks. Then it changes. We forget about the scales, and for the first time ever, we can put muscle onto the contestants without being penalised.
Right.
So we get the boys doing weights, and we get the body fat off them, and we get the boys doing weights, you know, heavier weights, and the girls doing their body shaping. And the end product is absolutely spectacular.
So this is going to work really well because this will connect with a lot more people in society, and it's more about body sculpturing than actually just losing weight.
It's about total health, and it's about building functional, healthy, athletic bodies that are good in day-to-day life. And I think, you know, that's where my passion's always been. For me, it's always been about the head. I don't give two hoots if you're size 2 or 22. It doesn't matter to me. It's how your mind is and what you're prepared to do to get to a place where you feel happy that really excites me.
Right.
And this shows so much more about the mental side.
Hey, Shannon, been good to talk to you, mate. I look forward to catching up with the show.
Thanks so much, buddy.
The Southwest Triple M. Good morning. It's Ian Blackley with you. Now, diets. Now, we've all tried them at some stage. Some are successful, some aren't. And there are some varying reasons why some work and some don't work. Kristen Hansen, Director and CEO of Enhancing Performance, has quite an insight on this. Hello, Kristen. How are you going?
I'm well, thanks, Ian.
Now,
thank you.
There are diets run out of puff in the middle of the afternoon. And what do you exactly mean by that?
What I mean is that our brain is wired in such a way that our prefrontal cortex, which is the part of our brain that does our sort of executive thinking, like deciding and planning and organising and understanding, it also houses our ability to inhibit, so to stop ourselves having those cakes or the wine or the naughties that we feel like. And throughout the day, our brain tends to lose its ability to inhibit. The more we inhibit, the more we use our prefrontal cortex, the more we're overloaded and have information coming at us left, right and centre, the more we actually get exhausted, if you like. And so often for many people by mid-afternoon, our desires to have a healthy day and, you know, be on track with food, etc., sort of run out of puff a lot by 3 o'clock, and we sort of say, oh, just forget that, I'm just going to have something sweet and I'll get home and I'll have two wines, not one, and we don't end up having that evening run. So essentially our brain is not really helping us on the quest, I guess, to stay on track with the diet throughout the day.
Rightio, this explains a fair bit, because I used to cycle a fair bit and I used to do it in the morning, you know, like 6 a.m. and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And this is when I was doing drive on radio, so I'd sort of go to work about lunchtime. And I used to do that quite often, or I was quite fit and everything else. And whenever I do breakfast, I sort of, because I get to work early and because you get home at about lunchtime, the last thing I feel like doing in the mid-afternoon is getting a bike out and going for a cycle or doing any exercise whatsoever. And I totally agree with you. I might have one white. No, I'm going to have two.
Yeah, that's right.
That explains a lot, because I just don't have the desire to get out there and do what I used to do.
That's right. And I guess in some ways we feel it's a bit like Groundhog Day, because then we have a good night's sleep and we wake up the next day and say, right, I'm going to kickstart that diet, I'm going to be healthy today, I'm not going to have junk food. And then we sort of fall into the same trap, I guess, again and again. And often when I'm presenting and explaining this to groups, the amount of laughter that there is, because it really hits home.
Yeah, I can understand that.
It's a common thing for so many people. So it's nice to at least understand what we've got going against us, that there are some things that we can do. But it's also nice to be validated to know that we're not the only person who finds it hard to sort of either be on a diet or not have that alcoholic drink after work or what have you, that there's many people in that category.
Is there a silver bullet?
Look, there obviously there's definitely things we can do. One of the things that we can do is have regular brain breaks. So give ourselves about 5 minutes brain break every hour and a half. Definitely exercise, and exercise even through the day is ideal. So if we can have it in the morning, but also even a brisk walk, 10, 15 minutes at lunch, because what we want to do is re-oxygenate our prefrontal cortex, give it a bit more of that energy. And also be aware that if we eat some foods, it can make us feel more sluggish, like high lots of carbohydrates, for example, or lots of it. For many people, probably up to about 30 or 40%, can feel a bit sluggish in the afternoon and tired as part of processing that, because it releases serotonin, which is a relaxant neurochemical. So there's definitely things that we can do. And just being much more aware of how the brain functions, I guess, and it's, of course, getting enough sleep the night before and other things like that, they can all impact significantly, you know, the amount that we get out of our brain during the next day.
Right. Excellent. Kristen Hansen, Director and CEO of Enhancen Performance. That is a bit of an eye-opener. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome, Ian, and good luck if you're going to continue with some bike riding in the afternoon.
Get the update on what to download. It's Dan the Internet.
Yes, a very good morning, mate.
G'day, Blackers. How are you, mate?
Not bad. What's the app for the week?
Well, Blackers, I know you know that I'm a bit of a gamer, and I love my gaming.
Yep.
And I don't know if you know, but Nintendo released a new console last week, which is doing pretty well, called the Nintendo Switch. And what they've done, cleverly, kids are going to hate me for this, so I apologise, kids, in advance, but they've released an app to go with it called Parental Control.
Right. Yep, the kids are going to hate you mentioning that for sure.
I know. So, I'm not making enemies everywhere, which is not really good. But what it does is allows parents to, essentially control how much gaming their kids can do when they're playing these consoles. So, which, as a parent, and I'm a parent, that's a great thing. But as a gamer, that's not so great.
Yeah, but you're not a kid either, so that's okay.
I'm sort of a kid.
But this is a good idea because, you know, parents, they always get bent out of shape about the amount of time kids spend on, you know, gaming consoles and stuff like that.
And you have to be careful about it.
Yeah, exactly.
They are a kid's little thing. This is actually pretty clever by Nintendo, because it shows, and they probably do genuinely care, that kids don't spend too much time gaming. And this is a great way to keep a sort of lid on it, you know. So.
Okay, and it's up on our Facebook page, yeah?
On your website.
Oh, website. Okay. Oh, that's, of course, yes.
Triple M Southwest, yep.
TripleM.com.au Southwest, Blackers for breakfast.
That's the one.
All right, mate,
Link's
cool.
There.
We'll talk to you next week, old son.
Absolutely.